it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
This week, Trump had some good news and some not-so-good news, and today we're going to break down both of them. J.D. Vance has been critiqued in the past for saying some bad things about Trump and was asked about it on the Nelk Boys podcast. I thought his answer was really interesting. Take a look.
I was critical of Trump in 2015, 2016, and I think like there are a lot of different things you could say about it, but fundamentally it boils down to two things. Number one, I didn't think he was going to be a great president. I, in fact, thought he was a really good president, certainly the best president of my lifetime. And so when the facts change, I think thinking people should change their mind, right? Okay, I was wrong about the guy, and he was great. But there's something a little bit deeper, actually, where I kind of learned that the media is so dishonest about Trump that a lot of the things that I thought about him in 2016 weren't just like, you got to change your mind. It's just outright that was false. So, for example, I don't know if you guys remember this, but there was this thing that happened in Charlottesville where white supremacists killed this girl, and very tragic situation. And the media said, well, Trump stood up for the white supremacists. And there was a time in my life where I would have believed the media, what they said about it. And then you go and read what the transcript of what he actually said. And it's like, wait a second, he actually condemned the white supremacist. He never said that there were very good people on both sides. What he said is that some of the protesters were good people, not like the white supremacists who murdered this girl. And you realize so much of what the media says about this guy is totally dishonest. I think once you accept that frame of mind, you start to think for yourself a little bit. And when I started doing that, I started realizing, one, he's a good president, but two, he's just not the guy. He's not the scary person the media makes him out to be.
Yeah, so I actually think that an answer like this is very good news for Trump, and I'll talk about why, and I'll talk about some of the polling that's going on right now. Sometimes what you want out of a VP and someone who's supporting you is not necessarily someone that's just been gung-ho on you the whole time, but rather someone who wasn't and was actually convinced of you. And that's what J.D. Vance is saying right here. Juxtapose J.D. Vance now with what Tim Walz is for Kamala Harris, who has always been a progressive shill, and you can see how this could be an asset for the Trump campaign. For instance, just like looking outwards, inwards, it can seem like Democrats are kind of this machine that just kind of works together. They don't have a lot of room for disagreement. They just go, they go, they go, they support each other. And on one hand, that might be a good thing, but on the other hand, you start to look at it and you're like, this is kind of cult-like. It's kind of weird. The elite is just so in sync. That was certainly the case when Biden just magically bows out and Kamala Harris gets put in there and everyone falls in line. But J.D. Vance being against Trump kind of paints a different story, especially about the Republican Party, because it shows that the Republican Party is much less cult-like and a lot more organic. J.D. Vance, I think, is all in many ways, he represents a lot of us, where, it's 2015, Trump starts doing a little bit better in the primary polls, and we look at it and we're like, I don't really know if Donald Trump is going to govern super conservatively. I don't know if he's going to be a great president. We were all skeptical, and it turns out that it was actually a really great 4 years, and he exceeded our expectations. And so that answer from J.D. Vance is actually, I think, the story that a lot of us could tell about, our perspective of Donald Trump. And this is coming from a guy, by the way, who didn't vote for Donald Trump in the 2024 Republican primary. I voted for Ron DeSantis, but in any case, if you look at the polling right now, Tim Walz and J.D. Vance are actually in a dead heat in terms of approval. And this is an improvement for J.D. Vance, and I think that it kind of represents this upswing that's happening with the Donald Trump campaign right now, and you're seeing, I think, the honeymoon period is starting to end a little bit, because J.D. Vance was actually behind Tim Walz in terms of approval rating. And usually VPs don't matter so much, but for whatever reason, they just matter so much this election. This election is so unique in so many ways. I've talked about it before. So in other words, J.D. Vance has gone through much of his scrutiny already. He's been announced as the VP much longer than Tim Walz has for Kamala Harris, and so he's gone through that process. His approval rating has dropped because of the smears from the media, but now Tim Walz is starting to go through some fire as well, and now you're seeing his ratings go down, and J.D. Vance is starting to go up because people are starting to kind of understand who he is, and I think that this is good news for Trump in general, because I think that's also true for Kamala Harris. Things don't look amazing for Trump right now if you look in the polls, but they don't look horrible either. I mean, most people are estimating like 55% chance that Kamala Harris wins, which is pretty much a toss-up at this point with a slight lead for Kamala Harris. But if you think about it, this is actually probably the best the numbers will ever get for her and Tim Walz. because we're in this honeymoon period, because the media isn't asking any questions, because the debate hasn't happened. And here's the thing. I know the media is going to cover for her. I've been very frustrated. I'm sure a lot of you are very frustrated. But at some point, some people are going to ask her some questions. And all it takes is a couple gaffes to seriously tank her numbers. The debate is happening. The debate is definitely happening. It's on September 10th. I'm going to cover it. And I think that we're going to see some big gaffes for her in that as well, especially if Trump really prepares, which I really pray, and I think he will. And so I think the numbers are only going to get worse for her. So if this is the best it gets, Trump might not be nearly in as bad of a spot, and it might be a toss-up at worst for Donald Trump. All right, guys, so that is the good news for the week, but I also said that there was a little bit of bad news. Jerome Powell, the head of the Fed, most likely is going against his own words, and he is probably going to cut rates in September. So why does this matter so much? I like talking about the economy. It's interesting, but I'm really interested in the election. And this is kind of what I think this rate cut is going to affect much more than even the economy. Because if rates are cut, it could have a huge impact on the election. If mortgage rates go down, again, the rates affect all rates, but I'm talking about mortgage rates specifically because that's what, you know, average Americans are going to feel and see. If mortgage rates go down, they may have a perception, the American people, that the economy is improving. And that matters for the election. According to Forbes, they said this. They said the market implied odds of a single 25 basis point cut, that's 25%, to the target federal funds rate at the Fed's September 17th through 18th meeting rose to 52.5%. So again, there's a 52% this is on Monday, that this would happen. According to the CME Group's FedWatch tool, pricing in a move from, this would go from 5.5% to 5.25%, or the reverse rather. The probability, they go on to say, the probability of a 50 basis point cut, which again would be double, is now a 47.5%. So also, you know, fairly likely that we're not just going to see one rate cut, but actually two, down, you know, half a percentage, which is a lot. So the question is, why are they doing this? Because we haven't had a rate cut in a long time. Obviously, they went way up when inflation went up. The reason why people are confused about this happening kind of out of nowhere is that inflation, it just came out at about 2.8% from last month, which is like 40% higher than 2%. That's their, you know, the Fed and Jerome Powell have come out and they've said 2% is their target inflation rate. If you're at 2%, it's not too bad. And we look at it and we're like, 2.8 is not so bad, but it's actually 40% higher than it's supposed to be. And there are a couple theories as to why Jerome Powell changed his mind. The first is that they're concerned about the poor jobs report that just came out. And I've talked about that in the past. I'm not going to get into it, but essentially jobs are not, you know, exactly where they want to be. And it is made people afraid that we're heading into a recession. And so the hope is that by lowering interest rates, banks will borrow more money. The influx of that money will spur the economy back to life. Because the concern obviously is that too much, if you make that cut, then we're going to have too much money chasing too few goods, which is the definition of inflation. And so that is the concern. On one hand, they want to spur the economy and get it back to life so, you know, that we're not going into a recession. But we're also very concerned that if we cut the rates too early, that we're going to see more inflation. And the other theory is this, and that it's that he's doing this because in September, this meeting happens to be like 6 weeks before the election, which is when things get really hot and heavy. And there's a theory that it's happened, you know, they might be doing it because of some pressure from Kamala Harris, from Joe Biden, to, you know, make Americans believe that the economy is actually doing better than it is. And I personally think it's a bit of a combination of the both. There are some out there who believe that the Fed is totally void of connection to the other executives, the other executive branches like President Biden, Kamala Harris, Congress. This is simply not true. If you think that Biden and Kamala Harris are not trying to influence the Fed and Jerome Powell, you're just crazy. I'm sorry. I'm not saying that Jerome Powell is necessarily listening. I think he probably is. But I'm not saying he definitely is. I don't have any data to support that. But you're crazy if you don't think that they're trying to put pressure. Of course that's happening. Of course. Now, again, that doesn't necessarily mean that he shouldn't cut the rates. That's not what I'm saying. I don't want to go into a recession. But it is concerning that we still haven't hit the target inflation and we're suddenly cutting rates and even talking about double cutting the rates. I mean, a single cut, you know, that seems a little bit more reasonable. But to double cut the rates seems kind of scary considering we're at 2.8% inflation, and that could easily make inflation go up again and again. We've gotten so used to this idea of 8%, 6% inflation. We don't like it, but we're used to seeing those numbers because that's all we are seeing under Joe Biden so far. And so when we see 2.8, 2.9% inflation, we think, oh, that's pretty good. Bidenomics is working. But again, that's 40% higher than it should be. And that's on one hand. On the other hand, as I've said many times before this podcast, inflation compounds just like investments. So that 2.9% is compounded on all the other percentages before. And so we're looking at, you know, prices that are 25% higher, or rather that the dollar is worth 25% less than when Biden took over the presidency. So overall, this is bad news, obviously, for the economy, but it's bad news for Trump because of how this could affect people's perception about the economy. If they think that the economy is cooling down, or rather inflation is cooling down, that the economy is heating up in a good way, people might just forget those disastrous policies that Biden and Kamala Harris put in place. Thank you so much for watching, everybody. Please go down below, comment, like, and subscribe, and watch another video.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.